Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 15th chapter of John, the gospel text, which has already been read. You may or may not have heard of that one thing, that thing called the internet. You may or may not have heard of it. We use it a lot. A lot of people use the internet to purchase things. I use the internet to purchase things. If I want to buy something, I may go to the store, and I still do go to the store sometimes. But if I want to buy something at the store, that means that I have to drive to that store. Then I have to park the car. Then I have to get out of the car, go into the store, walk to the thing I want to buy, take that thing up to the front, maybe wait for other people who are buying other things there. And when it's my turn to pay, I pay for the thing, I go out to the car, get into the car, and there's 20 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back. Or I can go to Amazon.com, tell the phone what I'm looking for, and one click on the mouse, and a couple days later, we have Prime, UPS, or FedEx, or the mailman drops that item on my front porch. Sure, I still have to open the door and pick the thing up. And Wednesday, there were two packages on my front porch. The tall one I knew was the broom that I wanted, but what about that smaller package? Look at that. A Ford CD set of Johnny Cash music plus the booklet. I wanted that. You can use the internet to purchase things, but you have to be connected. You have to be connected, otherwise you're just clicking around. Here, we're connected to the world of the internet, I believe, by a high-speed fiber optic, and it's fast. And I mean Jimmy John fast. Went over and visited Ma and Pa last week, and we talked about the usual things, people, life, the good old days, and often my dad will talk to me about the books that we're reading. And last week, Dad noted that there seems to be a lot more good books out there than there used to be. He asked me why that was, and he actually listened to the answer. I told him first, this writing style called new journalism, writing expert Doug calls it literary nonfiction, writing factual things in a way that makes for a good read. And secondly, the internet. I told him so much information is so readily available, so much more quickly than it used to be. And I said, you know those $100 books I bought at seminary? And my mother said, yeah, she remembered. And I said, I'm trying to sell them on Amazon, and nobody's buying because they can get all that information in those books on the internet. How do I know that this word occurs 72 times in the New Testament? Well, I clicked my mouse on it. That's how I know. And how do I know where those 72 times are where that word's used? Another mouse click. Yeah, you can use the internet to get information, lots of information, but you have to be connected. You have to be connected. Here, with high-speed fiber optic cable, when we're not here on the phone, the information just sort of flies through the air and lands in the phone, which is smart, but you have to be connected. And if you're not connected, then you have to go to the store to get your things, and you have to thumb through books and stuff to get information. But if you're connected, you can get the things you want delivered to your house, and you can get more information than you'll ever need. If you're connected, you have to be connected. And you know, the internet was not really there in the time of Jesus, but grape plants were. And he metaphorically uses here grape plants and the vines and the shoots off of those vines and the actual clusters of grapes to teach us about him, his Father, Christians, and being connected to him. Of himself, Jesus says, I am the true vine, And he further says, my Father is the vine dresser. And of Christians, Jesus says, every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. It means cleansing, that it may bear more fruit. When I wasn't visiting mom and dad, I went to the Lincoln Museum in Springfield last week. I already knew a lot about Abe Lincoln, but I learned more there. And then on to Branson, Missouri, what Vegas would be like if Flanders ran it, to Silver Dollar City, mostly shows and food. We rode Fire in the Hole, the one ride we rode, and then the Titanic Museum the next day. I knew a lot about the Titanic, but I learned more there. And you may remember that a year ago we were in Italy, staying in a castle in Tuscany on a hill in northwestern Italy. We stayed a week. And several mornings we walked down to the village for them killer pastries, and to the left of the road, the man was pruning his olive trees. And to the right of the road, a woman and her crew were pruning the grape plants. It's pruning time in Italy and here, and some of you may be pruning about this time. I know we are. You prune your trees, apple, pear, peach, and your bushes, berry and grape. It means that you cut off some branches. That's what pruning is. Or in the case of grapes, you cut off some shoots, new growth. You cut some of those shoots or branches off so that the other branches or shoots will bear more and better fruit. The whole point of having fruit trees or bushes is that they will bear fruit, right? And the more and the better fruit you get, the better, right? That's why you prune, that's why you cleanse the tree or the bushes of the useless plants or shoots. And the thing I noticed about the grape plants over there is how thick they were, like about as thick as a man's forearm. Now, vineyards, we have a few vineyards been popping up around here lately. There's one over by Kelowna, and there's one outside of Cool Valley. And we have two grape plants in the compound, and the vines are small, more like a finger. Older grape plants, like the ones I saw last year, that have been there maybe for 100 years, are bigger than that. Like the ones in first century Palestine were much thicker than the grapevines we see around here today, like about the thickness of a man's forearm. Thick and strong and sturdy. And that, Jesus says, is what he is. Thick and strong and sturdy. The man pruning the olive tree was standing up in the tree, and he was cutting branches from the center of the tree, I think, at least in part, to make the harvest easier. And the woman and her crew pruning the vineyard were cutting off shoots from the previous year that are hard and woody, like that part of the asparagus that you throw away. Vintners call those shoots one-year-old wood, and they don't produce anything. And besides that, they take up nutrients and the like from the shoots that will produce, so you cut them off. That's what the Father does, Jesus says, as he tends to his church. He cuts out the dead wood, but not to be nasty. He cuts out the dead wood, the one-year-old wood, for the benefit of those who are living and producing. Jesus does not want that to happen to you, to be cut off, or to any in his church. And this metaphor, he tells, serves as a cautionary tale for all Christians and all Christian churches. He does not want that to happen to any of us, and so it is that he tells us to abide in me and I in you. He wants us to abide in me and I in you, and then he explains why. As the branch or the shoot cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Now that verb abide occurs 118 times in the New Testament, and it's here in the imperative mode, a command or an invitation. And the word is most often, and by that I mean almost always, used of a dwelling place, like a house or a home. Here he is commanding us and inviting us to dwell with him in his holy house. Not just to be connected to him, but to dwell with him in this holy house. And right before that, he has told them exactly how this is to be done. How to abide with him in this holy house. The word. That's how. Right before telling them to abide, he told us that you are already made clean by the word that I have spoken to you. You are already made clean, pruned by the word which I have spoken to you. You may or may not be familiar with St. Francis of Assisi. The Franciscan order is named after him, and the hospital in Rock Island used to be named after him and was largely run by them. Francis of Assisi died in 1226. And he's probably best known from statues and paintings that show him with animals, especially with birds. And the man did like his animals. But it ought to be noted that St. Francis of Assisi liked humans even more, recognizing the humans as God's highest creation and spearheading a renewal in care for the poor, sick, orphan, humans. And he's also known for the quote widely attributed to him, and here's the quote: preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. And that quote always bothered me, because that quote means that somehow our acts is the thing that causes people to know about and to believe in Jesus, and the word is really, that quote says, not needed. But clearly, the word is the one thing needed to cause people to know about, to believe in Jesus. And a couple months ago, I heard a Lutheran, not any of you, say that quote, and it bothered me again. And I went on the internet, and the internet says that St. Francis of Assisi never said that. In fact, the first time that quote, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, that somehow our acts is the thing that causes people to know about and believe in Jesus. Those words were first uttered in 1911, about the time that the social gospel, the emphasis on RX as gospel preaching, was getting underway. That's not how we get connected to Jesus. We get connected to Jesus by his word. In Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch, for example, his interest in the Christian religion is kindled not because Philip was such a good guy. The interest of the Ethiopian eunuch in the Christian religion is piqued as he reads from the Word, the Old Testament, Isaiah, the part where Isaiah talks about that very interesting suffering servant. And what's that? We note that Philip's role is in proclaiming and explaining to that man what the word of God means, at which point the man asks Philip if there's any reason for him not to be baptized. I've had that conversation, quite frankly, several times with people who have been moved by the word of God to become interested in the Christian religion, to become Christians, and to desire Christian baptism, which is the word with water added. You may have heard the story about Bill, who came up to church after church one time back in the 1990s in Pittsburgh, Kansas. He came up to me after church and said, "Pastor, I want to be baptized." I said, "Well, Bill, we have an adult instruction class. You should go through that to make sure you know what baptism means and what the Christian religion is." And Bill says, "No, I've been listening to you every Sunday. I know what you're saying, I know what Christianity is, I know what baptism is, and I want to be baptized." And I kind of went to Philip on him and said, "I guess there's no reason for you not to be baptized." One of the elders went and got the water. We baptized Bill right then and there. Of course. Of course. And it's the word, not because I was a particularly nice guy, it was the word that moved Bill to become interested, to understand Christianity, and to want to be baptized, and he was. Fellow baptized, to you, Jesus said, you are already made clean by the word I have spoken to you. And then he says, abide in me. Abide in me. Dwell in me. No, you do not want to be the shoot that becomes 1 year old wood, sucking the life out of the other productive shoots, good for nothing except to be thrown into the fire. You don't want to be that. You do want to stay connected to Jesus, to abide with him. And the way you do that is to deliberately expose yourself to his word. And you can do that by reading your Bible. And I would encourage that. You can do that by reading the Portals of Prayer devotions like a lot of you do. My father always had a Bible reading at supper, and we did the same thing with when our kids were at home. And your children learn most of what they learn from their parents. You could TiVo that half hour at 10:30 on Sunday morning on DirecTV 277. That's when some Lutherans from Fort Wayne do a service. Other than that, the other 10 religion channels on the dish probably have to sort some things out. And religion on the internet is in like anything on the internet. And we have learned about sorting things out, haven't we? Staying connected to the Word, it's about staying connected to Jesus. Abiding with Jesus, and that connection comes, and that connection remains by deliberately exposing yourself to the Word. Well, maybe not the easiest, but probably the best way to do that is to come here for an hour on Sunday morning, come an hour early for Bible study. That'd be 2 hours out of 164, but you're here, so I know that you already know that. The Word, staying connected to Christ, abiding with Christ. I don't know what you think, or if you even think about it, but do you know what the pastor does on Sunday morning when he's on vacation? Well, this one anyway goes to church. Last week we went to Trinity Lutheran in Coal Valley, where we communed. And the week before there, we went to Emmanuel Lutheran in Rock Island, where we also communed. The year before, we went to St. Martini's in Florence, where we did not commune. And 3 times on a Sunday morning in Galway, Ireland, we went to church, and we did not commune there either. Staying connected to Jesus by hearing and listening to his word deliberately. In fact, I kind of freak out just a little bit when I lose my connection. Kind of freak out a little bit. Be sitting there doing my study at BibleHub.com and clicking here, typing there, and then on my screen, internet connection lost, try again. What do you mean try again? And I start yelling. What, at the laptop, at the connection? What am I yelling at? And when the phone says, can't reach Google at the moment, I tell the phone to try a little bit harder. Staying connected to Jesus by listening to and hearing his word. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch or shoot cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Did I mention that the word abide is most often, and by that I mean almost always, used in connection to gathering together in a house or a home. And so it is that we gather together this and other days in this God's house, the place where the word of absolution is proclaimed to you, the place where the word is added to water, making it baptism. The place where the word is added to bread and wine, making it the sacrament of the altar. The place where we come to stay connected to Jesus, to abide with him where he is in his own house. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This time we receive the offerings.